He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
Hey, Slick Talkers, I hope you are having a great week. I'm so excited for this episode. It has been long overdue, and I say that right in the beginning as you get through the intro, because it's true. I've known Mark since just before COVID, and we actually got to meet before the world shut down in London, and let's just say due to COVID and all of us, whether he's growing Boostly and I was growing my podcast to now where we are today with hospitality.fm and Amplified Audio, it's just taken me too long to actually sit down with Mark and get to know his story. And this all really did start when he and I chatted in Nashville at the STR Wealth Conference. And I got to kind of like tell him, like, look, I'm sorry. I've been really bad at actually making this happen. And long story short, you know, he was just super, super nice and was supporting everything we were doing with hospitality.fm. And I just couldn't have thanked him enough. And so he joined the network and finally we're recording and we did the episode. So you can watch the live stream on any of your social media channels that we're on, or you can just listen to this episode. But I also just want to say a big shout out to my friend Dana Lubner. I just got to attend her Good Neighbor Summit with the Mile High Host here in Denver this last weekend, and it was awesome. As a sponsor, I loved the content that was there. I loved getting to network and meet some more industry friends, whether they're operators or vendors. It was just really cool to attend a local conference, and I know I said I was done with conferences this year, but this one was right in my backyard, and Dana is such a good friend and supporter of the show that I wanted to give her a quick shout out on this episode. And if you don't know who Dana Lubner is, check out the show notes. Her old episode with me is there, and she's also a big part of the Rent Responsibly team. So big shout out to you guys. Love ya. And before we get going to this episode as well, going to give another shout out to our sponsors. I could not be doing this podcast without Hostfully, Safely, and Minute. These three companies have really come in to support all of the content, all these conversations, and all of the back-end work that it really does take to put the show together, from interviews to conferences to getting better microphones. They are the reason why I'm here. So I'm just super thankful for you guys. If you're a property management company or if you're a host, either way, you need to check them out. If you have one property, zero properties, 100 properties, these are the softwares and the platforms and the hardware that you need to have in your tech stack. So as Mark is going to jump into the episode and talk about booking direct and building out marketing tactics and how to actually implement building your brand outside of OTAs, these softwares are just as important to be a part of that journey with you. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And as you know how I like to do it on the podcast, get ready to hear Mark Simpson in 3, 2, 1. You're listening to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, a podcast for those who are in and around the hospitality industry who love, live, and breathe what they do. You can join us for candid and unscripted conversations with hospitality experts and founders as we go deeper into their personal stories while they're sharing their triumphs and trials that got them to where they are today. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and you're listening to an episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now, let's begin. All right. Welcome back to another episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. I am super excited because guess what? We have the one and only Mark Simpson on the show. And I have to admit, I was slow to pull the trigger on this one back in the day when Mark and I first met in 2020. Obviously, we all know what was going on that time of year, but I'm super excited to have you on the show today, Mark. How are you doing?
We did it. And I love that new intro. That is lovely. That's slick.
Thank you. We had a lot of fun with obviously using some footage from the Book Direct show. So, which you are a man that knows much about Book Direct. So I know we'll dive into a lot of it. But I'm just super excited to dive in because from a podcasting standpoint and like in the network of Hospitality FM and all that stuff, No, I personally don't feel like I've gotten to know your story from the early origin days. You know, what made Mark Simpson the Mark Simpson we see today? So I would love for you to just like jump in. Where do you feel like your origin, your story really starts within hospitality?
Well, first of all, cheers. It's been a long time coming, my man. What we got?
Cheers.
There you go. Cheers.
Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't bring a beer, unfortunately. Still in the afternoon.
I'm in the UK, as you can tell from this accent. I'm right down. It's about 9 o'clock now, my time, but it's perfect. So I thought, kids are asleep. Let's get a beer, celebrate this. Because it has been a long time coming. I remember we were chatting early 2020, obviously met in London in March 2020, just before the world turned upside down. And that was like a crazy sort of like pivotal moment in sort of like the career of Boostly. Like after that point, from like March 2020 to December 2020, Boostly grew 200%, which is insane to think of, just as the whole world of hospitality was going through all emotions. But like sort of rewinding it all back, I was born in this industry pretty much. Like at the age of 3, my parents changed a 200-acre farm from being just a 200-acre farm with a lot of livestock and arable to a bed and breakfast. They knocked a barn down, they got planning permission, and they sort of had the foresight to sort of look into the future, and they created a farm stay experience. And you know, all you got to do now is go on the Airbnb or Instagram, and every farm has got a farm stay element, whether it's glamping or whatever. They're one of the first, definitely the first movers in our county, which was Yorkshire in the United Kingdom. If you've got anybody who knows where Yorkshire is, please just drop a little comment or a like in here, because it's that's where I grew up. And you know, it's so funny because this was happening like in the 90s, right? And in the 90s, there was no internet, there was no social media, there was no Airbnb, there was no Vrbo, so they had to like rely on old school marketing tactics. So word of mouth and newspaper ads, pretty much. That's all they were doing. And, you know, I was just so used to having strangers in my house every day. I thought that was the norm. I only realized that wasn't normal when I went to a friend's house for the first time for a play date. I was like, where is everybody? Where is everybody? Like, what's going on here? And so, you know, I grew up in that. I grew up in hospitality first sort of methodology and sort of mantra being sort of always shared by mom and dad. I grew up in it. I was like working in it. I was doing breakfast before school, doing like changing bunk beds at weekends and all that jazz. And so I got to like fast forward. I'm in my teenage years now, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. And I just wanted to do one thing, and that was escape. I wanted to get out of the small town. I wanted to travel. I got my soccer coaching qualifications. I really wanted to be a soccer player, but I'm rubbish at playing soccer. So I got my coaching qualifications. And that's when the opportunity to come to America happened. And that's like 2002. So a year after 9/11, my mom was petrified. She was like a little baby boy, like going over to America. But I had such a good time. I started off in Memphis, Nashville, which we'll talk about Nashville later. And it was just such an amazing, amazing, amazing time. And then I had so much fun that next year I went back. The year after that, I went back every year, 5-6 months, got my visa, went back. And then 2009, I sort of realized that this career was never going to go anywhere. I was never going to get like my green card. I was never going to become a full-time gig. So I sort of went, right, let's go back. Mm-hmm. UK, straight into London, fell into sales and marketing. I was working for Yelp, which is the big review site. But at the time it was Quipe before it got purchased. Yeah. And then learned 2 years of just solid, learned all about social media, learned about SEO, learn about how reviews work, all that stuff. And then in 2012, my parents asked me to come into the family business. I'm the oldest of 4, and it was just a natural sort of progression. It was me, there was my wife, and there was my my eldest, Alfie. And so we moved back, and my role was to get everything online. Like when we first moved back, they were doing everything on pen and paper. It was unbelievable. Pen, paper, and Tippex. It was crazy.
What year was this when you went back?
2012. So when we first sat down, I was like, right, what are we talking with here? And it was like pen and paper. I still get PTSD for the day. I still remember the folders. And it's just like, you know, my dad would take a phone call. Yep. Go now. Yeah, absolutely. I'll book you in. Forgets to book it in. Goes off, does the farming. Like literally 2 days later, we've got two strangers standing in the doorway saying, hey, we're checking in. And my mom's like, ugh. It's just insane. So my job was to get it all online to make sure that it was systemized and structured, and then get the online marketing going. And it went really well. Like basically fast forward 2 years and we took 25 years worth of offline word of mouth online. And so TripAdvisor, we were like one of the top three recommended places in the whole of the Northeast of the UK. We were winning awards. We were getting sort of national press. Social media was going crazy. Like Facebook was one of our biggest sort of channels. And what it all meant was that every single year, year on year, we're a 70 to 80% direct bookings. And then 20 to 30% was always fillers, like third parties. Like booking.com was the biggest. Then you've got the Expedia group. And then, you know, as the years went on, obviously Airbnb sort of dug into that as well. And in 2016, I read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek. Like a friend gave it to me, read it, and I was like, wow. Because I wore that busy badge with honor. You know, I was like, you know, I'm son of a Yorkshire farmer, that generation of like, do it all yourself, no outside help. You know, my mum's the type of person that would get somebody to come in and do the cleaning and clean the house before the cleaner arrives. that's sort of mentality. And I was like, wow, blown away by it. So many sort of aha moments and takeaways. And I sort of dipped in the Pringle tub. I popped that Pringle tub and I hired like a virtual assistant, a VA. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. I was able to sort of take away 3 hours of my week just like that. And I just started to do more and more and more. And before I knew it, I was freeing up all this time. And so I started to go with my time that I freed up. I started to go to hospitality meetings because I wanted to meet other hosts. I wanted to meet other owners. And at these meetings is like where the sort of the brainwave for Boostly came around, because at these meetings, I was chatting to hosts and they were sort of bemoaning the fact that they were so annoyed at booking.com. Like they were sort of bemoaning like all the things that you hear now in 2022 with Airbnb. It was booking.com in the UK back in like 2016. It's like, oh, the policies, the commission, blah, blah, blah. And I just said, well, like, what are you doing to bring in your own bookings? Like blank expression. Next question. Well, who's helping? Like, nobody. Like the tourism board wasn't doing it. There was one or two people online, but the tactics were like outdated, or it was very sort of like you couldn't really connect or relate to it, or getting you to spend tons of money on Facebook. And so, you know, I just thought, well, sod it. If no one's going to do it, I'll create a Facebook group. And I called it the Hospitality Community Group. And it's still around today. It's still amazingly engaged. And it was just for Scarborough and Whitby. The first ever name I think I created was Hospitality Community for Scarborough and Whitby. And that is literally it. And every single day I showed up and just posted like advice, whatever that advice would be. Like, this is what I'm doing. Try it as well. And, you know, it works. Like I invited everybody in from the area. And they then invited and sort of recommended their friends are coming in. And before you knew it, people from further afield, Edinburgh, London, Manchester, and then people from France and Germany were joining, and then America and Australia. And like fast forward 2 years and we've got 1,000 people in that group. And, you know, my inbox is getting really busy. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. People are asking for advice. And it was my wife, Laura, who said, you know, we should really look at this. And what are you going to do? Like, what are we doing? Are we going to stay doing the family business, or are we going to go back traveling? You know, she was a major traveler herself before we met. And I just sort of had an idea. I was messing around with Boost and Boost Hospitality, like boost your bookings. And then my wife said, just call it Boostly. And I was like, wow, Boostly, sorted, done. And, you know, I sort of asked in the group at this point, I said, right, I'm thinking of doing like an online course. I just need 5 volunteers to sort of guinea pig it. I've got 80 hours worth of videos that I've recorded of me doing the work for my family business and for like others who would like to test it. 5 people put their hand up and they were the first 5 members of the Boostly Academy. Fast forward 4 years and now those 5 is 2,500. We brought in website design. We do books, podcasts, a part of the HFM network, which is fantastic. We've got YouTube. We've got loads and loads and loads and loads of things going on. We've now got 40 members of staff. And this year, like right up until today, our websites have tracked £2.6 million, about $3 million worth of direct bookings. So it's, you know, it's all sort of coming together nicely. My goal is to help 1 million hosts cut down on the over-reliance on Airbnb. And we're just slowly but surely like ticking that off day by day. So thank you for having me. Thanks for letting me share my story, and they're excited to dig in.
No, there's a lot of routes I want to take this, and you know, I think before we cover into like the book direct stuff and building out the marketing and kind of like your journey and learning that as well, I want to dive into, it's been kind of cool to hear whether it's from like Natalie Palmer, who's also in the Hospitality FM network, or from you and even my kind of experience, the correlation that a lot of us have had with getting involved with family, whether it's our parents had the home or a farm or whatever, and getting into the industry that way. And so I want to ask you, you know, going from traveling all over the world and doing, you know, coaching for soccer and then saying, hey, I'm going to go back into the family business, especially after when you're talking about your age, like you're trying to escape, like you're like, I'm ready to get out of here. So coming back, how was that for you?
I think, I don't know what it is about hometowns, but my hometown of Scarborough has got this magnetic pull. Even now where we live in the UK, we're only about an hour away. And we still go back a lot, you know, because my family are there. Like Laura grew up there. It is such a sort of a magnetic pull. And I love being by the coast. And it's weird, really. Like my sort of mentality from, say, 10 to 20 was so different from what it was from 20 to 30. It was so different from when it was 30. I'm 39 now, 40, and it will be so different from when I'm, you know, that sort of that 40 to sort of 52 age group. And, you know, it's weird. It doesn't matter what stage my life has been, Scarborough's always had that pull. And who knows, like maybe next decade we end up moving back or whatever it may be, but it's one of those weird sort of places, and especially like the farm that had such a vibe and a feel to it. And when the opportunity came, it wasn't so much for like me and Laura moving back. It was like, this will be a great opportunity for Alfie to grow up you know, in the countryside and all of that. And to be able to sort of come into the business as well was exciting, you know. And it's so weird how things fall into place. Like I could have quite easily ventured off on the sliding doors moment and gone right, but we went left, and that left then Boostly would never have happened if we'd never moved back. You know, Boostly would never have happened if I didn't sort of read the 4-hour work week. Boostly would never have happened if I hadn't have gone to those meetings. And you know, it's just sort of so weird how things have sort of progressed along the way. But yeah, it's crazy thinking back, really. I was so determined 16, 17, 18 to go see the world and whatnot. I had an amazing opportunity, did it, and did it a couple of times over even after the kids were born. And I guarantee Scarborough will always have that pull. Doesn't matter where I go or where we venture in the world.
I love it. Do you feel like, so there's a great podcast that I used to listen to, and they would ask the question to their guests on the show, do you feel like you were born or made to be an entrepreneur? And I want to ask you that question, especially because your parents have a background in being entrepreneurial with taking this farm and creating it. So do you feel like that was instilled in you, or do you think watching them maybe had some kind of pull for you to start Boostly, or do you think it was just always there? You just needed to be, you know, given the opportunity to execute it.
It's really such a good question. Actually, my therapist asked that question not so long ago, so I feel like I'm primed with the answer. And it is weird, really, because both my parents were entrepreneurial and I saw it and I witnessed it. But then again, my first job, I had a job, you know, I worked for them, but then I went off and did other jobs in pubs and restaurants and whatnot. But then my first sort of thing out of school, I did 1 year of sixth form, which is like your upper high school in the States. And I sort of did 1 year of that and I dropped out because I chose totally the wrong things. But when I came out of that, I went into a role that was kind of like a franchise. So I was kind of my own boss. I was responsible for getting the kids onto the camps, getting the kids to the after school clubs. Like, you know, I had to do lots of old school marketing. Like this is 2000, 2001. And so again, before social media or anything, my marketing was flyers, printing thousands of flyers, like literally sat there in my old Daihatsu Sirion, sorting through all these flyers to then go and give them to schools and doing all those things. So it's very entrepreneurial sort of driven, but that determination mindset. And then like even doing the soccer coaching in the States, again, very much entrepreneurial. We had to sort of, again, do all the things. And then when I fell into sales in London, like I believe that any job in sales, you are your own sort of entrepreneurial mindset, because you get a very low base and then the commission is what brings home the bacon, so to speak. So you are very much in sort of in charge of all of the things. Obviously you don't have anything else to worry about apart from picking up the phone and selling, but that came at a later date. So I feel like born, but you are, the influences that you have around you sort of guide you on that journey. I feel like my personality type, and I love doing Enneagram personality tests. I get every single staff member at Boostly to do them. And it's really interesting and to intriguing to see what the Enneagram results are. My personality test is 7 and 3, which is pretty much like move fast, break things and just keep on improving, which is very entrepreneurial. And I don't know if that was one that I've been born with or it's just something that's been fine-tuned over time, but it's a really, really, really good question.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny how you could see if you look back, right? Like you're like talking about flyers and doing all these things. And it's like, no one told you in that moment, like, hey, you know, you might be made to be your own boss. Like you don't fit into this, like go to school, get a degree, get a job, buy the house, have the family, buy the dog, yeah. You know, and retire. Like you don't have that like normal kind of track. So it's interesting to always like see, you know, what was it for you that really exposed it? Now, okay. So coming into building the business, I guess, and there's some other pieces that you said that I really want to dive into too, but we'll go this route first and then we'll backtrack a little bit later. Is the, I guess like taking what you've done, right? Like you've learned marketing, you were taking these tools and practices that you've already learned, bring it to the family business. I guess, tell me some big trials and even triumphs really that you guys had going, however many years on paper to then online, and maybe even taking that leap and starting Boostly. You know, what was, you know, a really good failure that you had to learn, but then a really good success that you, you know, I guess would say came from that failure as well.
So there's a really good book by Mike Michalowicz called Get Different, and he doesn't call it a test. He calls it experiments. And when it comes to marketing, I love like experimenting in marketing. After reading Tim Ferriss, I think this is where I saw, I really bought into it, because he calls himself the guinea pig, the human guinea pig. And he just sort of likes to test stuff and then sort of relay stuff back to his audience of what worked, what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And with the granary, like I was testing and experimenting so many, many, many different things. Like when live video became a thing, like, we're testing live video. And the first ever live video that I did, I literally got my phone. I plumped it on a tripod. I pointed it to the view, because one of our main selling points was the view. And I just literally hit live and just left it there. It was like a very chill live video, you know, and people were tuning in because it was one of the new things. And we've always sort of done and experimented in so many different ways. Something that my wife, Laura, reminded me of recently, because we've just done in the Boostly book club, we do a different book every month, and we've just done Get Different. And we were talking about it in the Zoom call about the different marketing tactics that we've tried in the past. And I talk, and she reminded me of one where we got a biodegradable balloon, helium balloon. The bottom of the base of the balloon, we tied a little note to say, if you find this balloon, congratulations, you've won a free night stay at the granary. Here's my cell phone, here's my whatever to redeem it. Because what we realized was that 90% of our guests lived within a 1 to 3 hour radius around from where we were based. So by setting off the balloon, it's something different. Now this little girl found it, gave it to the parents who called us. Congratulations, we found out it was that little girl's birthday. It was like the perfect person to find that balloon. She booked,
literally.
Yeah, we booked to stay. We found out from her mum that the little girl loved unicorns. So we just bought a little unicorn stuffy, left it on the bed. It was a fantastic. It was like social media, tick, referrals, tick, the repeat guest on a birthday every year for the next 2 years at least, tick. It was a win-win-win. It even got in the paper, like the press lapped it up. So win, 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 win. That's fantastic. There's been a ton of failures. It's so many experiments that didn't work, like more than I can even sort of list off. One of the main ones is we started doing weddings. Weddings are very profitable, but they give you the biggest headaches in the world. We tried to do everything ourselves, you know, up until 2016. And so that resulted in, you know, stress, you know, again, from my wife having to work with her husband as well as the in-laws. That's never a nice combination. That's, you know, and, you know, and it's just so, so many things that we tried, tested, experimented. But the main thing is that we never sort of focused on a loss. You know what I mean? We sort of instantly sort of brushed us off, got up again and went and tried to do something different. And I feel like the main thing that what we did, the main thing that we did really well is that we took that offline word of mouth. We got it online. We were always asking for reviews. We were always trying new things. And it just resulted in so many people leaving reviews, which is like really like to the point where we built an email list and we built these reviews. So one time we had a real crappy guest, like the worst guest, like the we talk about the crush and the cringe list. It was our absolute cringe, and they left an absolutely shocking review, as they should do, because they should never have booked in the first place. We should never have taken the booking X, Y, and Z. Anywho, crappy review. Sitting there right at the top of TripAdvisor, I was like, nah, I'm not having this as the first thing on TripAdvisor. So we emailed our list and said, listen, I'm going to be real with you. I need his help. Like we've got a really crappy review. It wasn't right. TripAdvisor will never take it down. Can you please go on and leave a real review of your real experiences on TripAdvisor? And we had a list of about, let's say 2,000 people, 500 people left reviews instantly like that, because we had built this sort of such good thing offline, and literally that review disappeared. And there was this so many decent 5-star reviews. And like we did that by creating super fans, by sort of just being present, being visible online. And it was just by doing these little experiments that just meant that we were always at the forefront of people's views. And so, yeah, there's tons and tons and tons.
With all these experiments, how did you know when it was time to give up or to lean into a failure or potential success?
That's a good question. I don't know. You just have that feeling. I've always been one which, you know, could have maybe like sociopathic sort of vibes to it, but I've always been one to sort of, if something isn't working, you just kill it and move on. And you just have that sort of feel. And I do it with Boostly now all the time. Like the way that we've grown Boostly now, I'm not doing all of the things. I'm, you know, I've been able to hire, we've got like 40 members of staff. So it means that I can be the one that's at the top designing, experimenting, testing. And I'm the same at Boostly. If I try something and it doesn't work in the way that I want it to work, whatever that end KPI should be, it's instantly, right, forget about it, move on, focus on the thing that's working. And so, yeah, it's weird. There's no set like monitorial number or we've got to hit this certain amount of whatever number. It's just you feel it. And if you feel if it's not hitting, and after doing this for so long, like I technically could say since 2001 with the football coaching sort of business, you just have a feel when something's not working and you just instantly know when to be able to just sort of let go.
Yeah. No, 100%. You kind of become calloused, right? Like it's you don't let those losses really impact you, and you just kind of move forward, or like they say, what, water off a duck's back type deal. So that's really cool. So tell me, getting from you and Laura, which I would love to hear how you guys met also. You and Laura, she's the mastermind behind the mastermind, right? Like she's telling you Boostly's the name. Just call it Boostly. You say, hell yeah, let's go. Where do we take off from there? What was your first, I guess, product? Was it the Facebook group and just really focusing on that? Or did you guys start honing into email marketing? What was the first thing that Boostly went after when it came to this like online presence for independents?
So I've never told this story, but it is a good one. And it's a thing that I think any startup could do. Doesn't matter whether you're doing hospitality or whatever. If you're just literally coming across this thing, this is a cool idea, then this is a really the good idea. So what I did was I wanted to see and test if what I knew to be true actually worked. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to work with 5 local hosts. And I briefly mentioned it at the meetings that we were going to and whatnot, but nothing was really biting. So I thought, right, well, I'm going to do this right. And so I went on Google Maps and I got an amazing VA that I still work with to this day to sort of go on Google Maps and find me, I think it was, I want to say 1,000 addresses of bed and breakfast rentals and whatnot. So she put it all on a Google sheet. I went to a local printer and I got him to mock up a postcard, and the postcard, it read as if a guest was sending the postcard to the host. Okay. So it read along the lines of, hey, and it left a blank so I could write their name in. Just want to say thank you so much for an amazing stay. We really enjoyed it. Your property was fantastic. We'll recommend it to friends and family members for years to come. ... And then there was a space, and then it was, just imagine getting this postcard from every guest that visited. To find out more, go to this URL. And on that URL, I can't remember what the software was, but it was this really fancy piece of kit. But when they went to the URL, it was bespoke to the person that I sent it to. So it would say, hey, Will, owner of Insert Business, win a chance to get 1 month's free coaching with Mark Simpson of Boostly, founder of the Granary, right? And all they had to do was submit an email or whatever it was to jump through that hoop. And I sent it to like 1,000 people. And out of that 1,000, let's just say, I think about 30% reacted with it, whatever. And then at the end, I was able to sort of boil it down. I picked a winner. And then from that, I had all of these numbers to contact and call on the back of it. And because of the way that I'd done it, it was different, standout. Postcard came through. People were really confused. Like they recognized me from the grain. They're like, what are you doing? I was like, well, this is something that I want to do. I want to test. I want to see if this works. And I had the first one, they got a month's free coaching. And the other ones, I managed to get another 4 paying clients. One-on-one. I charged nothing, but I went in and I did everything. I took over their OTAs. I took over their website. If they had one, I took over their email list. I set up their social medias. I did everything. I literally was just going crazy. And every month I would go and visit them once a month for like a catch up or whatever. And the reason why I did that is I wanted to see if there was proof in the pudding. And it was really good because I had a bed and breakfast. I had a hotel, small hotel. We had a couple of rentals and whatever the other one was. And, you know, I got a real good little test to put together. And at the same time, I'm creating the Facebook group, the hospitality community Facebook group. And the way that it was basically working was I was only doing these one-on-ones. I didn't have any idea of the one-to-many sort of future that we sort of ventured towards. Mm-hmm. And in 2017, me and my wife had an offer for our house. So we still had our house in Darlington to buy it offers, and we'd make a little bit of money. And we thought, let's go for it. Mm-hmm. So we sold the house. We had 17 grand left over at the end of it. And we said, right, we're going to go traveling with that. Like the way that the granary, the family business was at the time, it was pretty much running itself, didn't need us. So we're like, let's go traveling. And so I said to my clients, right, this is what's going to happen for 3 months. A little bit different. I'm going to still do the work, but I'm going to be doing my calls with you, and I'm going to be in Bali or India or Thailand, whatever. They said, yeah, we'll go along with it. Da, 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 da. It was awful. I came at the end of those 3 months, and you know, the businesses were still there, the work was being done, but they really missed that sort of one-on-one vibe that I'd built up when I could just go in at any time. And you know, this was like the life of a contractor or a life of a freelancer. All of our 6 month contracts were coming at the end at the exact same time, and only one stayed. And I was just like, oh, that's like 90% of the revenue just gone right there. And I was like, okay, this is a little crazy. This is a bit extreme. I don't think I'm cut out for this. So I went away, got my thinking cap on, and that's when I came up with the idea of putting everything that I had learned, everything that I had implemented onto an online training platform. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing because then it wasn't just Scarborough and Whitby. We had a ton of people joining this Facebook group from all over the world, and I'd be able to help them as well. And so that's where the Boostly Academy Thinkific came into it. And you know, that's like sort of late 2017, early 2018. And it was at the exact same time I got my first tax bill. I was such a bad business owner because I didn't even think about doing all of these things of, I've got to be putting money aside here. You know, I've got at least put a little money aside because there's going to be a tax bill coming. Didn't even think of that. And I never forget handing in to my old accountant, who was not a very good accountant. And I sort of handed it in, and it was just like, by the way, you now owe like mid 5 figures on on a tax bill. I was like, I ain't got that. We were living paycheck to paycheck. And it was just like, wow. So I was just like, I never forget that drive back, that 2 hour drive back to the house. And I was just like, what's going to happen here? But I just head down, just got on with it. Again, that sort of mentality, just gonna get it done. And you know, we got to that amount, paid the tax off, all the cool stuff, and then it just sort of grew and expanded from there. And it's so weird how sort of like the things have sort of come and evolved. The main thing has always been building the email list, you know, becoming a go-to, showing up every single day, you know, proving what I talk about and all that cool stuff, and turning every single member into like a super fan, or as many as possible. Like that Kevin Kelly blog, 1,000 True Fans, always rings true to me. And so much so that I'd forgotten about it. And I've just started going to a PT here in the UK. And we're chatting about business and life and stuff. And I was just like, you got to check out Kevin Kelly. Like the way he was talking and asking questions, like, you got to check out this Kevin Kelly, 1,000 True Fans. And it made me revisit it. And it's everything that I've done from pretty much since 2017 still ring true today of how we've built Boostly.
I love it. There's so much to unpack from that too. Oh my gosh. So good. It's so good. It's crazy. Like think about, okay, you were doing this postcard thing with the direct URL to the person before anyone in our industry. Like that's a number that's been a big tactic by Vacasa, you name it, like all these bigger companies, right? Like they're going that postcard route. you pretty much did that before anybody. So just to hear that is kind of one crazy. I'm glad you told that story because, yeah, just to see like the amount of people that use that tactic today. For, I guess now scaling the business. Now you just said 2017, 2019, now up to 40 people. When you and I met in London in 2020, you know, give me a walkthrough of, man, like what was happening with Boostly at that time? You know, you and I were both, I think we crossed paths. We talked for like maybe 10 minutes, give or take. And then it was just go, go, go. And of course, like everyone's like hearing about this thing called COVID and like, oh, what do we do? Do we go home? Do we stay? Do we go home? Do we stay? So I guess what happened right after?
So I'm trying to think of how many team members we had then. I would say a handful. And what was happening was in 2019, I had a 6-month contract in Bali. So me and the wife, we had 3 boys then, and we packed everything up. We had a rental at the time. We let go of our lease and we moved to Bali for 6 months. And it was during that time is when we built out the next phase of Boostly websites, because the CTO of Boostly, Tom O'Brien, he is based in Bali. I met him in 2017. We kept in contact and we just slowly started to build websites together. In 2019, we sort of put together a DIY WordPress offering, which was like a great idea. It was ideal for anybody who didn't want a done for you. They wanted a little DIY, but they didn't want to mess around with WordPress. And that was like the sort of the lighting of the touch paper, so to speak, of like Boostly, because it instantly put us in available for so many more people. We priced it ridiculously low, £200, $200, and we just sort of started talking about it, X, Y, and Z. And then got back from Bali. We moved to Spain. We basically packed the bags again, moved to Spain. And then during the time...
I remember the Spain part.
Yep.
I remember the Spain part, yeah.
So we just literally moved in October 2019, got a place. And then we were so lucky that in March, obviously I was coming back to speak at the Short Stay Summit, and the Shorties Award was obviously happening at the same time. And it was last minute decision. It was like, right, well, I don't really want to spend time away from Laura and the boys. Why don't you come with? We'll spend like a week back. My parents can come down from Scarborough. We'll have a cool few days in London, all that jazz. So we had booked to fly on the 11th of March and the flight back was on the 16th of March. The Shorties was on the night of the 11th. And then the 12th was the Short Stay Summit XL when I met you proper. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was on the night of the 12th that Spain started to go into little lockdown, as in schools were closing, things were starting to go a bit, what's going on? Like our flight back was the 16th. Had a great day at the XL, great day, all that cool stuff. And then over the course of the next few days of the weekend, like I was on flight tracker, like 24/7. Yeah. I've never been on flight tracker before in my life, figured out what's going on, I'm going to get home. And then, yeah, we just made that decision on the 16th. We're at Gatwick Airport. I had Enterprise renting a car to my left. We had the departures terminal to my right. There's me, my wife, our 3 boys. We're like, what are we doing? And we just made that decision to stay. We naively thought we'd be there for like a couple of weeks, fly back to Spain. All because we're there for 4 months. And luckily we came back to my parents' house, you know, up in Scarborough, back to, you know, the magnet that was the family farm. Yeah. It was like, I had my laptop with me and, you know, we had Wi-Fi, nowhere to go. And there was a community that was just in distraught. Like every single day you turn on the news, massive worldwide events were happening. We didn't know what was going on in the town, in the city, in the state, in the country, in the world. So it's like, I just knew what I knew best, and that was just going live on Facebook. And so we just did it every single night for 40 days in a row. I went live on Facebook. Some nights we'd have guests. Some nights it was just drinking and having fun, doing quizzes, whatever it was, but we did it every night for 40 days. And the sort of the ramifications of that is that we were getting about 100, 200 people every night joining live. And the sort of the awareness just sort of kicked up a level because there was just some guy, weird British accent, weird hat, going live every night. We got some amazing guests like Noah Kagan. If anybody knows Noah Kagan, you'll know like how big he is in the world of entrepreneurship.
Huge.
Primo, huge. At Facebook, something like that. So he was huge. We got him on. We were like, it was one of my podcast highlights of like Boostly. It was like getting him drinking at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon as we're doing it. It was great. And you know, we had some other amazing people on. And at the back end of it, the inbox at Boostly was just going crazy because people, you know, had maybe government support, maybe had a little bit of extra time to go, right, I now need to not rely on Airbnb for my bookings because of all the things that happened, you know, Airbnb canceling bookings and da-da-da-da-da, right? And people were like, right, I want to focus on this now. We were getting property management software set up and they wanted a direct booking solution. And we had just right place, right time, visibility was there. Somebody, you can go into any Facebook group at the time, it was like, right, who do you recommend for a direct booking website? And there was me and maybe two other people that being mentioned, but we were getting mentioned more than most. And it's just the natural flow. And like having 40 hours worth of live videos, I saved every single one, turned every single one of them into podcasts. So we had like 40 weeks worth of podcasts. We were having so many, because I used to do one a week. We had so many recordings that I had to start like ramp it up to two a week just to sort of, because I had a backlog like the rest of the year, which was great. And so it was just all of that combined. And we just sort of kept improving the product. We started to hire more people that we needed to do. And, you know, it was so like a crazy time, but we grew 200% in 2020, which was ridiculous. And it's weird saying that at the time. I hated sort of putting that out on LinkedIn at the end of 2020 because so many people had lost their businesses, X, Y, and Z. But it was like at the same time, it was this massive achievement that we needed to talk about. And then it was just like the sort of the next ramp in the process. I always say like having a business is like being on a roller coaster ride. And it's like we're right in the very bottom and we're just been slowly going up. And I feel like now at the end of 2022, we're getting to like that peak. And I just keep hope it keeps on going. I wouldn't just go, boom, drops out the event, but it's like, it's exciting being on this ride. Now we've got 40 members of staff. We've got, you know, we've got actual teams. We've got a finance team. We've got a sales team, marketing team. Yeah. We've got support, COO, CTO, all these fancy titles that I never would have imagined in 2016 when it was just me on a dining table at 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to get a couple of hours working before the kids wake up to now where it is. So it's, yeah, it's all good, my man.
I love it. How much would you say consistency played a role in that? Would you say consistency is a big piece or?
Yeah, it's king. It's king. Like you just got to show up like every day, even when you don't want to, you just show up. And showing up can mean so many different ways. It could be just a little post on a Facebook group. It could be a story. It could be an email. It could be whatever. It's like, even when you don't want to do it, you got to show up and provide value in some way, shape, or form. And that is consistency. And I've always been visible. Like my whole thing is to make sure that whatever social media platform you're on, you can see Boostly in some way, shape, or form. At the start, it was so hard because it was all me. Now I'm really fortunate and lucky to have a team that help with 99% of it, which means that I don't always have to be doing the tippy tappies on the phone and all that sort of things. We talked about it in Nashville. My screen time on my phone is down to like 2-3 hours. So it's bare minimum. It sits there in a corner. It never flashes and whatnot. So I'm very lucky at that, but it's consistency is king. Consistency is everything. And it's the other very cliche phrase is, you know, imperfect action applied at speed is the key to success. So it's like just getting on, cracking on, being consistent, testing, trying new things, seeing what sticks, seeing what doesn't stick, and sort of getting rid of what doesn't and just keep working on what does, but just being visible and present every day.
I have it tattooed on my bicep, says progress, not perfection. So I think like the more you go in with that mindset, I think a lot of people focus on being perfect before bringing it public or live, right? Like, all right, before I go live on Facebook tonight, I need to have this set up and this like it needs to be perfect. And sometimes it's just, no, just start doing it and figure it out. Do you like it? Do you even want to do this? Like you have to, I think if you just do the progress first, usually goes into allowing that kind of evolution of the content and or even the business itself kind of just do a central course.
That's like, look at your podcast from the early days. Like now you've got the lovely boom mic and all the cameras and all the stuff. But like back in the day when it was first starting out, it was just laptop, microphone, like a USB microphone, go.
I was just talking to Matt Landau, who you have also gotten to get to know over the years too. And it's like, telling him like, I remember we recorded my episode with him on Skype with no cameras. And I was in my echoey like condo apartment where it was horrible audio. Like, I can't believe yeah, people listened to the show because of how bad the audio was.
But you needed to do it. You needed to do it, cut the teeth, so you enjoyed it. Yeah. And now you've got, you know, lovely audio and all other things. And the problem is, this is a big problem within our industry, which we could say is like short-term rental industry or the hospitality industry, is that there are too many vendors, too many peers who maybe be on LinkedIn right now watching this who are still not started because they're waiting for the perfect kit, the perfect microphone, somebody to talk about, da-da-da-da-da. Just do it. That's like that's the one thing I'm saying to everybody. Just do it. Keep going. Do it. Start it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing you and I have gotten along with, especially when we got to talk Nashville, which we can easily ease into now, is just talking about like, dude, it's so easy to start a podcast. I feel like 2018 was like when I started, was right then and there. Gary V, Tony Robbins, get a $5 mic, go on Anchor, create a podcast. It's free, it's cheap, whatever. Now there is a little bit of barrier to entry, but there's so many people that just are so afraid of like, is it going to hit the metric numbers? And are we going to be able to monetize? And are we going to be able to do this? And it's like, just do it. Have fun. Get creative.
You're still so early in it. Like compared to, if you compare podcasting to blogging, there's like 1 million, maybe 1 to 2 million like podcasts. With blogging, there's billions of blogs. Like people will still start a blog today, but they won't do a podcast for whatever reason. It's like, the main thing is for me is you got to make sure that you are visible on every marketing channel. That's why I started writing the book, because there was a marketing channel that I was not visible on, and that was Amazon, which is like the book writing. Yeah. Like, so that's why we started doing it, just to be visible on a total channel that we are not currently on. So just all about, just do it. I honestly don't understand today, if anybody is creating content, why they aren't creating video podcasts, because what you can do with a video, and if you repurpose it properly, then you've got audio, you've got a written blog, you've got social media content, you've got shorts, you've got stills, you've got graphics. And you may think, wow, that's a lot of work, but what you got to also remember is who, not how. Like, you are not going to do all of this. There are some fantastic, fantastic people that you can find, freelancers, contractors that you can find that can help you. And you just gotta know where to look, but you got to start. You got to actually have a content base.
Yeah, let's talk about the book though. I want to, because you got to expose your first book at the STR Wealth Conference in Nashville. Hold that up. Do it for the thumbnail.
There we go. Book Diary Playbook. Look at the focus as well.
Nice. I know that focus is coming in. And I also have to give you like a big kudos. Like, as a podcaster, you know the struggle when your guest audio is not great. So thank you so much for having a great microphone, and you just sound so good. For all of our listeners, enjoy this great audio. It's not every time like that.
To apologize for the accent that's on the other end of it. It's very gruff Yorkshire-y.
Easy to understand. You got to expose the first book in Nashville. Now there's book number two on its way out. Kind of tell me the process of this, because I love the mindset you have. I'm on every marketing channel: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, podcasting, blogs, website, everywhere but written word, which is Amazon's ability to get a hard copy of Mark Simpson with them. So kind of walk me through this.
So the idea came to me late 2020. We had just started to dabble in Clubhouse, right? And I was loving it, loving the process, all about jazz. And I started to jump into rooms that were about book writing. And I was like, I could do this. So I went down a couple of rabbit holes, managed to get myself booked onto a book writing course, had an idea, and sort of thought, right, well, let's just see what happens. And the first couple of weeks of the book writing course was just about writing stuff down, Pomodoro technique, 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off. Don't even look at what you're writing, just see what comes from it. Like, have your structure of your intro, like why you, what you're going to talk about, da 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 da. And one of my favorite other books from Tim Ferriss is Tools of Titans. What I love about Tools of Titans is it's 200 episodes, his best episodes from his podcast, Tim Ferriss podcast. And what it does is it interviews the top people from the categories of health and wealth and whatever, right? And so I never read that book from page one to page like 400. It's a beast of a book. What I do when I read it is I dip into a chapter, whether it's Wim Hof, whether it's Tony Robbins, whether it's Noah Kagan, XYZ. And I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. So I thought, I want to create a book. Now, I want to create, I, I sort of I muted it in the Facebook community, in the hospitality community. I said, I'm thinking about writing a book about marketing. What do you think? And it was like massive, no, don't do it. It was like, but the moment that you publish it, it will be out of date. And that really hit home to me. Like somebody, it's just one comment. The moment that you publish it, the stuff that you talk about will be out of date. So I was like, okay. So I was like, well, how can I write a marketing book that is evergreen, that will stand the test of time, that will, doesn't matter whether you read it in 2022 or if you read it in 2032, or if my Alfie reads it, you know, when he's whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so I went away with that. And the name, the book, Direct Playbook, just came to me, because with a coaching playbook, back in the day, if I was doing a soccer drill, I would have this huge A4 binder with me at all times. And I would have every drill that you could possibly imagine, from shooting to defending, from goalkeeping to whatnot. And I wouldn't read that from page 1 to 400. I would go into it and go, right, I want a shooting drill. Open it up, find the drill, implement it. And I was like, oh, this is an idea. Is so book direct playbook. And it basically is 101 tips. And again, it's designed for you to dip in. Doesn't matter whether you need help on email, social media, content creating. And what I was doing, I was just picking my top FAQ. So the most frequently asked questions, the ones that I enjoyed writing content about in X, Y, and Z. And to be honest, the main reason to writing it is that I get asked so many different types of questions, whether it's customer avatar or somebody comes to me saying, hey, you know, Airbnb changed the algorithm. I've got no bookings over the next 4 months. What do you do? And my instant answer now is just, go get the book. It's 99 cents. The answer's in there, plus 100 others. And I drafted it out. I reached out to mutual friend, Neely Khan. I said, Neely, I need you.
Shout out to Neely.
I've got the bare bones of it. I need a bit of Neely sprinkled all over this. Like, can you help? And so she was amazing, fantastic. We worked together on it. She's like one of the like co-editors on it. I gave her a huge shout out on it because she deserves it, because it was fantastic. The book would never have made any sense if it wasn't for Neely. And then at the same time as putting the book together, I was reading Donald Miller, Story Brand. I was reading Pat Flynn, Superfan. I was reading so many books. And every single one of them had a common theme. They all had an online element to it. So it's like, hey, you're reading this book. If you want to find a free course, go to dadadadadad.com, put your email address in, and you'll get X, Y, Z. And I was like, oh, it's genius. Because Amazon don't share any information. We don't know anybody who's buying the books. So how do you get someone from reading the book to become present in your world? So again, we created the book directplaybook.com. It's a total free course. All of the tips that I talk about, it's like the over-the-shoulder aspect, because in the book, it was very on purpose talking about evergreen. I barely mention specific channels, right? I don't really mention Facebook or TikTok, because at the time, if I mention Musical.ly now is out of date. It's now TikTok. So I didn't want to do that. Instead, what I did is I talked about the philosophy and the psychological aspects of the things that we're talking about as a whole. And the videos were there so that when it comes to doing the video, if for whatever reason the whole layout changes in a year, I can go and update it. I can't update the written word in that book. That is in that set in stone, but I can easily change a video. So it was like a twofer. I got the email address so people can be introduced to Boostly, and then they can be able to like have up-to-date content on there, which is fantastic. And then I read Alex Hormozi's $100 million offer. Mm-hmm. And the whole psychological aspect around that, I was like, this is genius. He does two things in that book that just skim over it, but it's like, it's beautiful. Number one, when he's giving the outline of how to digest the book, he talks about having the audible and the written version in front of you as like a productivity tip. It's not a productivity tip. It's just Alex Hormozi trying to get the book to value the audible and the Kindle. I was like, that's genius. So I put it in the book. And as well, the other thing, halfway through the book, he does this amazing chapter about why you should leave a review. But one of the things that you'll realize about the Hormozi book, he's got so many reviews on it. And that's why it spread like wildfire. He didn't have to pay any advertising to sort of shift the copies of the book. So again, I messaged Neely, 11 o'clock at night. Neely, I need your help. We've got to sort of shoehorn this in. Amazing, got it done. And again, it's in the book. And the reason why the book has taken off as it has done is that we get so many reviews left on it. So it really helps boost the algorithm on Amazon. And just before going to publish, there was a chapter that didn't sit right with me. And the chapter was about the systems and the structures to put in place. I talked about things like the PMS, like the guest verification, trust factor. And I pulled it. I was like, I just messaged the publisher and I said, no, I got to pull it. I don't like this. I feel like I'm shoehorning this in. I feel like this is not working because the playbook is all about marketing. So I pulled it.
Yeah.
And I honestly was going to do nothing with it. And then this year, when the playbook came out, it went to number one. It was amazing. It's been such a fantastic resource because now people message me at least one a day on Instagram without a shadow of a doubt, at least once a day, saying that they're reading the book, which is great. And then on the top of that, with Hospitable Hosts, with Jody Sterling, did that, which Nashville was just fantastic because of those two things. And so I, being part of a multi-author book like Hospitable Hosts, was like, okay, that was interesting. I really enjoyed that process. And then the blueprint came back to me, like the idea of a blueprint. So the chapter that I pulled came back to me and I was looking over my notes and I was like, I could do this book and I could get another book done in 2022, but it wouldn't be just me. It'd be me reaching out to friends in the industry, vendors in the industry, because doing this for 6 years, you know, I get to know like a lot of really cool people and I want to be able to showcase them. And again, we're talking about podcasts. I was like, so many people aren't doing podcasts. So many people aren't talking about their business on a day-to-day basis. None of these have got a book, right? So it's like, how can I get them to be visible on a marketing channel that none of them are going to be visible on? How can we get a bestseller? How can we like spread the awareness of them? And I thought, amazing. So booked out blueprint. I think it was July. I woke up stupidly early. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I got a massive piece of paper and I just brain dumped it. I drew like 15 circles. And I just thought like, right, I want a chapter on property management software. I want a chapter on trust. I want a chapter on pricing management. I want a chapter on upsell. I want a chapter on guest experience. I want a chapter on da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I drafted up a very coffee-filled Google Doc. And I just sort of had a hit list. And I just started sending. The first person that replied back to me, first person in the book, Maddie from Mount. Just met Maddie. I was like, I really want to feature you in this book. I feel like you are a superstar. I love what Mount is doing. Please be in the book. She's like, yeah, 100%, we're in. And then just people just kept coming back. And like, you know, it got to the point where before the end of July, we had everybody that I wanted, which was amazing, said yes, which was great. I went back to Jody, told her about the idea. It was just a stroke of luck that she was starting up a publishing company. She's like, we'll run it through a publishing company. Fantastic. And then it's just sort of all falling into place to where right now we've just got the cover. We've got the book back. The first like copy of the book is back. We've got iPrac. We've got Mount, Price Labs, Touch Day, Uplisting, DAC, Tech Tape, Superhog, Manoan, D-Travel, Roberta Nunes from the co-host expert who's got a really good chapter. And I've managed to convince Tom O'Brien, the CTO, who's very shy, who's very reserved. He's done a chapter in the book because I really want to put him to like the forefront of people now because he is the brains behind like Boozley, massively is so. Like all of the tech behind the scenes, the websites, the everything is like, it's about him. So I want to bring him to the forefront. And so yeah, we've got a pretty awesome book if I do say so myself. It's very hard to put together a multi-author book. It's very hard to structure it to make sure it makes sense to the reader, but we've finished it. It's gone off to the offer, to the publisher, sorry, to the printer, which I'm really excited for. We are recording the audiobook this week. A massive shout out to Hannah from Touch Day. If anybody's ever listened to the Touch Day podcast, there's an amazing British accent. That is Hannah. I reached out to her straight away when I had the idea for the audio version. I was like, can you please read the book? I'm going to do the intro. The outro, I just want you to do the middle bits. She was like, yeah, sure. And so she's recording it this week. She sent me a 30-second demo today and it just sounds lush. It just sounds like butter. She's amazing. So I'm excited So we are good to go. We're going to launch it in December. I can't give an exact date because I learned the lesson with the playbook. You never give an exact date.
Amen. Amen.
And the cool thing is, and this is the main thing, and all the authors have bought into this straight away. So I said, any profits from the book sale is just going to go straight to charity. It's going to go straight to food banks, food bank charities in the UK, USA, wherever. And so, yeah, the goal is to get the bestseller, sell tons of copies, help support. And then most importantly, spread the awareness of all of these co-authors, because it's there's some really cool people doing amazing things. And if this book can help sort of spread the awareness of them, even better.
Totally agree. I love it. Well, I want to do something kind of different on the podcast because you kind of inspired me through what you've been sharing through all of your stuff. For the first, let's say 10 to 15, I'm going to say 15 people that send you or I an email saying they heard this episode and say, or a DM, you could do DM, LinkedIn, Instagram, all that stuff. First 15, let's say they heard this episode, they want the book. First 15, I'm going to buy the first book for them, send it off to them. And then the next round, I'll do another 15 for the new book. So we'll do 30 books total giveaway just from this episode. So you only have to mention this episode. That's all you have to do. I'm not going to tell anybody anywhere else. So if you don't see it, hear it, we're just going to do it on here. So that'll be an easy way to get some of the Slick Talkers with their hands on it, which would be great.
Appreciate you. Amazing. Amazing. Fantastic. Yeah. I love it. Please do that.
Yeah, no, super easy. The final question I usually ask every guest nowadays is, if you had one link where you feel like anyone who wants to learn more about you, Boostly, or just feel like is valuable for anyone listening in our industry, what would that link be to be in the show notes?
The link that I would love would be Instagram, because Instagram is my jam. So Instagram.com/Boostly UK, BOOSTLY UK. It's the best platform. It's the only one I've got on my phone, the only app I've got on my phone. So yeah, go and do that. Go reach out, say hi, say you're tuned in on the Slick Talk, and yeah, and we'll hopefully, any questions you've got, more than happy to answer. Doesn't matter whether you're a host or a business owner or a startup, just want to pick my brain, I'm more than happy. Just go ahead and ask away.
I love it. Well, and anyone listening should know, whenever I text Mark, every time we're both on the iPhone crew, I see Mark has notifications silent. So definitely make sure you do the Instagram one, because I'm pretty sure his notifications are off. So
that's the hack. That's the life hack. All notifications off.
I love it. I'm the same way. I'm like, nope, not during this time of day. But yeah. Mark, it's been a real pleasure having you on. I'm glad that we got to connect in Nashville for the first time, like on a deeper level outside of online and meeting in COVID times and in London and all that stuff. So I just really say, like, you know, from truly like the bottom of my heart, like, it's just been really cool to get to know you, your story, and just, you know, seeing what you bring into the industry is just incredible. So I want to say thank you for being on the show and doing what you do.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you in a couple of months back in Nashville.
Yes, sir. I can't wait. If you are listening to this and you're wondering what we're talking about, strwealthconference.com, get your tickets. We'll all be there. All of the biggest names in hospitality will be in attendance and on stage. So it's going to be a good time. But until next time, make sure you like and subscribe everything Boostly and Mark Simpson, so that way you're getting the best book direct and marketing tips and tricks and tactics, as he likes to say. Yes, I know you're saying your three word liner, but yes, I am super thankful, and we'll see you all again next week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to our show partners for making Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, possible. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we would love to connect with you outside of the podcast. So you can follow us on all of our social media channels for daily hospitality content, or find us on slicktalkthepodcast.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and we will see you guys all again next week.